We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off. Yeah.
Look at this. It's happening again. Okay, so, golly gosh, so much has happened in a little bit of time. So, so let's just timestamp this. It is October 6th, 2024. Almost my wedding anniversary, not quite my birthday, and... it's a Sunday night, and I'm just gonna bang this out while I still have time, and the folks are away. Oh, and today's musical guest, Allie Gertz.
You let me complicate you. Help me, I broke apart my insides.
So, Allie Gertz, you will, I'm sure, remember. No, you won't. I think it was the last time we went to Max FunCon, me and Alexis Perplexus got to have lunch, with Allie Gertz, and she was talking about how much she wanted to do a, Nine Inch Nails tribute cover album. And sure enough, that she made good on that promise, because that's what this is.
You get me closer to God.
So, I thought, hey, how great, you know, let's buy the album and help support Miss Gertz in her musical endeavors. Okay, so, hey, look, I said there's been a ton of stuff going on. What's been going on? Well, holy cow. Again, to timestamp in the universe that we're now living in, Joe Biden has gotten out of the presidential race. Kamala Harris is in it with Tim Walz. The election's in November. We have no idea what's going to happen. It's in a dead heat for some insane reason. Oh, good God. Speaking of dead heat, it has been 90 degrees for about, oh gosh, I don't know, 6 days in a row here, even in San Mateo, it's been that hot. And thank you, global warming, because this is bananas, right? Like, October is always warm, right? It's actually the best time. If you want to visit San Francisco, it is the best time to come, is October. I'm gonna use the politically incorrect term of the Indian summer, but it is exactly that. But this is bananas. It is way hotter than usual, and way hotter longer than usual. Usually it is not this hot for this long. But the good news is we invested in double-paned glass, and we have a 4-inch foam roof that keeps the heat out. So we're doing okay. You know, it's only on days like this where it refuses to cool down sooner. So it is now 8:45 and it's still 80 degrees outside. So after this, I'm gonna go swim in our pool. Now, another thing to date check this about, you know, what's going on. Dave Grohl just released the fact that he has had a child outside of his marriage. And boy, howdy, that's an interesting thing. You know, Dave Grohl always painted himself the big family man. And it turns out, man, not so much. There was Okari Werher, who you might remember from Sliders or Remote Control. She dated him for a while, and many, many years ago, like 20 years ago, she went on the Howard Stern show and talked about dating Dave Grohl, and about dating Dave Grohl. And then the other girl that was dating Dave Grohl at the time reached out to Kari and said, "Hey, you say you're dating Dave Grohl?" And she's like, "Yeah." She's like, "Funny, so am I." And so, needless to say, both of them stopped dating Dave Grohl and are not doing, you know, we're not no longer doing that. So this whole pattern is nothing new. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, he got a girl pregnant? That's probably not the first time, right? It's rare that you do something for the first time and you get caught doing it. So there you go. So where there's smoke, there's fire, I guess. And I hate to say it, but it also kind of bums me out a little bit listening to the Foo Fighters now. I have them loaded into Rocksmith, the software I use to help practice the guitar. And, you know, Foo Fighters was my favorite band to play along with. You know, it's challenging, but also super fun and upbeat and rock and roll and distortion. And you get to feel like a rock star and bam. And now I listen to it and it does kind of, it's tough, right? It's hard for me to separate the art from the artist. So, yeah, that kind of sucks. Speaking of artists and music, so I do all the New York Times puzzle games with my lovely wife, and so we do strands, we do connections, we do Wordle, and so I kick open my mobile browser and it, you know, default page has three news stories on it that you might be interested in this. And of course, most of the people I follow on Instagram are either fitness people, drummers, or guitarists. So my Google profile knows this, and then they're like, "Hey, here's a story you might be interested in. Here's the headline." Wait, let me get you the headline exactly. What you really are. Okay, so the exact headline is Flea, comma, legendary bassist from Alton dies. Okay, so I don't know what Alton is. I mean, I'm assuming it's a city. I don't know. If Flea is from Alton or not. I don't even know why that's in the headline. I just see Flea, legendary bassist, dies, right? So then you click into the article because, you know, I just see the headline and I'm just like, oh my God, that's terrible. And then I'm like, okay, you know, I don't recognize this website. You know what? I'm gonna do my due diligence. I'm gonna do my homework and I'm not just gonna proliferate a headline to all my friends saying, "Oh my God, Flea is dead." No, I'm gonna go to CNN. I'm gonna look up, you know, other Flea news and see what I can find. And there's nobody else. Nobody else is reporting that legendary bass player Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is dead. So then, you know, once I'm done doing all my funny little games, I go over to to my desktop computer, and I do a little bit more research, and I find that headline again, and I actually read the story. It's just some dude from Alton, Indiana, who called himself Flea, who also just happened to play the bass. Okay, shitty ass website who services the Alton, Indiana area, go fuck yourself, right? because as John Nash had pointed out, you're just looking for clicks. You're just looking for people to click on that headline and get through. There's no way in any universe this guy who no one has ever heard of is quote unquote legendary, okay? He is local at best. Maybe has a sandwich named after him at the deli in Alton, right? Maybe plays the scrub brush Scranton Hut in Alton, you know, every Wednesday in the summertime, but nobody knows him. Legendary, my ass. Kiss my ass, you piece of shit website. Just trying to get clicks and mislead people into thinking the bass player that everybody knows is dead, because he ain't. And it's funny, if you go into the comments of that story, you scroll, there's only one comment. There were two. One of them got deleted. But one of them was, not that flea, right? Right? Because that's what we're all thinking. I'm sure the other one was what I was saying of, you piece of shit, why would you write this headline? You suck. You're making people, you're intentionally trying to mislead people. Look, I feel bad. Like, no, I hate it when anybody dies. No, not anybody. There are a couple of people I would not be sad. But, you know, look, I'm sure he was a fine individual. He didn't write the headline. Not his fault. Certainly not his family's fault. But come on, legendary bass. I mean, it's one thing that the dude's name is Flea. It's a second thing that he also plays bass, and then you're gonna make up he's legendary? No, go fuck yourself.
I give you all that you want. Take the skin and peel it back. Now doesn't it make you feel better?
So, I saw another article with a clickbaity headline. And look, hey, now it's on me, right? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, won't get fooled again. Thank you, George Bush. George Bush Jr. So, another great clickbaity headline I saw was, Peloton CEO loses $1 billion. And I'm like, whoa. How'd he do that? And I click into the story, and sure enough, yes, former CEO of Peloton did lose, I don't know if it was $1 billion. It was a lot of money, but it was all because of the stock, right? He was given a whole bunch of stock. The stock went up because of the pandemic. People were locked in their houses. They weren't going to the gym. Everybody ordered a Peloton. And now the pandemic is quote unquote over, and nobody wants their Peloton anymore, and they're canceling their subscriptions, and they're getting rid of their bikes, and they're going back to the gym or whatever. And the stock went in the toilet, you know. And then they had that whole thing on Sex in the City of you know, somebody dying on their Peloton, and that stock price went even lower. And yeah, the guy lost a lot of money, but it was all wrapped up in stock. But then you dig in to the article, and the CEO, he's not the CEO anymore. He got shit canned when the whole thing went south. But the guy is still worth $200 million, right? He had to sell, you know, a couple of houses. I'm like, Jesus Christ. He even says in the article, actually, I think this is for the better. I think the kids were getting a little, like, I think the kids like this better, of not having all of this opportunity and all this wealth all the time. But it's like, come on, dude. Who are you fooling, right? Come on. This nonsense. This whole thing is nonsense. What are we doing? Come on.
Are you brave enough to see? Do you wanna change it? What if this whole crusade's...
Okay, so the big thing that we did recently. So, our kid has a boner for this Spanish group whose name I never... Oh, here it is. Esteban Armado. Esteban Armado. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hey, you're talking about a musical group. Why aren't you playing their music? Because it sucks. I don't like it. It's not good. And I don't understand why he's popular. But so the man sings in all Spanish. It's a very interesting arrangement. It's guitar, singer, bass player, no drums, but a horn section. It's sort of mariachi adjacent, and it's all, well, I shouldn't say all, but it's predominantly love songs. Now, what's interesting is I tried to figure out what Esteban Armado means. Like, if you run it through Google Translate, it just says linked arms. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you name your band Linked Arms? So I tried to find any sort of explanation as to this name. And we got a guy at work who is a native Spanish speaker. And I sent it to him. And I was like, hey, do you know what this means? And he wrote me back and he was like, oh, no, not really. He's like, I've heard of Esteban in, you know, like a faint memory. Like, I kind of remember some history teacher one time talking about Esteban, and I had to look it up. Like, this is how much of a deep cut this is. So what he said was, which actually kind of makes sense, he said, the Esteban were people captured in war and then made into slaves and then eventually wound up in the armies to fight with the people who captured them, which is bananas. And so maybe it's the slave army or something. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then I wrote the guy back and I was like, you know, the guy who runs this band, he started this band when he was 15. So he probably thought that was real super cool when he was 15. He was like, yeah, it's gonna be like, yeah, it's the slaves, but then we're armed and then we rise up and then we're together and then we're shooting and then we got guns and then we're our army, yeah. Fast forward to the fact that this guy sings predominantly love songs, right? It's all about how much I love you and the girls, and they're all like slow. They're all kind of slow. And it's like, right? This is why you're not listening to this right now and why you're listening to Allie Gertz, because it sucks.
I cannot repair beneath the stains of time.
Okay, so let's get into the show. So the show, so our kid is like hassling Miriam like crazy. I want to see this guy. I want to see this guy. He's doing a tour. I want to see this guy. So Miriam's like, okay, fine. So she looks him up. Now, keep in mind, Spanish-speaking artist. Where do you go? Where there are pockets of predominantly Spanish-speaking communities. So I'm thinking, great, Redwood City, awesome. We used to live there, and there is a firm pocket of Spanish speakers there. And then we look up his tour dates, and no, Stockton, on a Friday night. Show starts at 8. It is 3 hours in traffic. If I leave here at the end of my workday at 5, maybe we'll make it in time. So I, like, in a panic, I beg my coworkers, like, look, can you cover for me? I know I've got responsibilities. Can someone pick those up for the last 2 hours of my shift? I can get out of here at 3. We get out We get up there at 6 something. It still took us 3 hours, even though we left way before 5. But it's Friday, right? Friday hour traffic. Okay, God. So we get there, and I had never been to Stockton before. I mean, why would you, right? Unless you lived there. Yeah. And I had always heard, like, Stockton had the reputation of the most depressed city in America. And they judged it by, like, well, how much shit, like, went downhill? Like, how many foreclosures in the housing market? Like, how much shit went sideways in every single city? And they found that, like, Stockton got hit really hard.
I hope they cannot see it. I am the great destroyer.
So I'm expecting, like, Mad Max level garbage cans on fire, guys with feathers and football gear and just like, you know, flames shooting out of guitars, being murdered instantly as soon as I cross the border into Stockton. And actually, Stockton is not that bad. Well, now, hold on. There are a couple of streets in Stockton that when we were leaving Stockton, the homeless population is a particularly, what's the right word? Sketchy, like a kind of a crazy-ish, unpredictable type of homeless population that I am not comfortable with. That is very, very prevalent in Stockton. But let's talk about the show. So the theater that this is in Stockton is beautiful. It's old school theater, right? It has got ceramic tiles on the floor, beautiful wall sconces and art on the wall. Like, it is beautiful. And if you were thinking of what is it like, it's like a theater that you would go see a play at, right? There's no general admission. There's no pit. It's not like the Warfield where there's just a floor that you go on. It is seats. It's all seats. And we were in the third row, and it was for that it was good. The lead singer and his brother. The brother is the bass player, but the lead singer is a guy who's probably a little shorter than me. He's maybe 5'5". He's kind of doughy, kind of dumpy. The girls seem to love him. I don't see it, but okay. And he has a small Starbucks cup with him at all times in his hand. It does. He never sets it down. He never does a thing and he comes over and picks it up in between songs. No, it is in his hand all the time. And as the show progresses, I firmly believe it is just chock full of alcohol, because a couple of songs towards the end, he's stumbling around a little bit, he's getting a little slurry, he's waving his microphone around like a dick. Like, I'm pretty sure it's loaded with alcohol, but it's a small cup, which is how I think his crew sort of manages his alcohol consumption. Speaking of managing, so there are two people involved with that. His mother, who we have confirmed is his mother, we looked on the Wikipedia and all of that. His mother is there, and she occasionally will walk to the edge of the stage and throw flowers to people in the front row. And then sometimes she'll come out and she'll throw hats to people in the front row. And of course, people go crazy for it. Oh, can't get enough of it, you know. And it's just like, all right. But it's weird. I've never been to a show like this. I've never been to a show where, like, somebody's mom comes out and just throws party favors to people. Like, at best, you know, you'll get a guitarist who throws picks into the audience, but it's just like, okay, what is this? And, you know, most shows, they stop you from recording. Like, usually there's a message at the beginning,
please, there is no recording of any kind in or during the show. Please, check your exits and enjoy your time here at the El Catan Theater.
Right? That's most shows, but not this. Everybody around me barely looked at the stage. They were looking 100% at the show through their phone that where they were recording the show.
Gotta listen to your big time hard line, bad luck, fist fight.
So, okay, so that's one part. No, so now the other part of the managing his alcohol consumption comes from a guy we'll call his bag man. Now, Bagman's a little too reductive because he's a little bit of a hype man as well. So, the hype man, now I call him the Bagman because he literally has a fanny pack slung across his chest like a bandolero, like a Chewbacca-style bandolero of stuff, but it's all in the fanny pack, so you can't see what everything is that's in there. But I saw him pull out a throat spray and hand it to the lead singer, and then he pocketed it, you know, put it back in the fanny pack. And like, that's, you know, part of what he's there for is just a guy to have on stage to supply things to the singer. Now, he also, you know, will be like screaming things, right? You know, he's a kind of a bigger guy, but you know, he's just like, hey, come on, Stiles, Dad, Stockton! Ah! You know, and everybody screams, and it's like, and he's got a really great rapper voice, and you know, and but the most buck wild thing that he is responsible for is picking people out of the crowd to come up and take pictures with the lead singer at random points in the show. And it's not just women, it's dudes too. And I've never seen anything like this where he just like points and then there are stairs on either side of the stage. And you know, it's usually like two people like just walk up the stairs and then walk on stage, and then he kind of points, and they kind of stand in the background and just wait. And then he's like, "Hola, Isla Bonita," and then guitar solo, blinkety blink, 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 blink. And then he wanders, and the lead singer wanders back into the back, and he takes selfies with him, and maybe gets a little hug or something or whatever. But it's all very G-rated. It's all very innocent. And it's all very well-mannered and behaved. And so, you know, and then as soon as he takes the selfie, and then the bag man, you know, gestures to the side of the stage, and then the, you know, 20-something, you know, 20-ish age-something girls kind of like giggle a little bit, and they nod, and they walk off stage. It is like, I mean, it's great, but I don't understand, like, why everything can't be so civil. I mean, just, you know, just don't be a dick, right? Like, don't charge the stage. Because, like, if you see a rock show like this, there's some dumb, drunk asshole who storms the stage, immediately gets tackled, and then thrown, literally thrown into the audience. You know, and this pictures with the guy, it's almost encouraged. At some point near the end, I felt like the bag man wasn't even pointing to people. Like, people would just like kind of just, I'll walk up, and the bag man would be like, yeah, sure, come on over, and then pictures, boom, walk off, great. Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. The whole thing was odd and magical and beautiful and way too fucking loud. Good God. for a guy who's singing mariachi, lovely mariachi songs. We do not need this perforating your eardrums. The bass was so loud it shook my bones. Yes, I know, I sound like an old man. And I'm going to see Primus in December. And we'll talk about that more at the end of the year. But for now, from me, from the music of Alison Gertz and the music of Bright Brown, let's do this one more time!